From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Joshua Tetrick was pretty damn sure he knew how to launch a food company, and he knew exactly what kind of people he needed.
If you would have told me when I started the company, one of the keys to your success will be hiring people that are really good at going out to, you know, the Midwest to visit different warehousing partners and vet their applicability to store your raw materials, I would have been like, shut the fuck up.
Someone to do what now? Visit warehouses? No. Josh was looking for a very different skill set.
I would have been like, and you're wrong. The key to our success will be developing a technology platform to identify tools to make meaningfully different products. So, you know, take your old school mentality and go work for General Mills.
What Josh is saying here may sound cocky for a guy that didn't have any prior experience running a food company, but it's actually pretty common. Think of the number of times you've heard other entrepreneurs talk about the value of inexperience. I mean, I talk about it all the time. You want people with fresh eyes, unencumbered by the assumptions people make once they're in an industry for too long. Old industry veterans tend to do things because that's the way it's always been done, which is the argument for bringing in young, fresh people. It's why Silicon Valley founders stereotypically pride themselves on taking on new industries despite knowing basically nothing about how those industries operate. And there genuinely is a lot to be said for that. I really do believe that. But can you go too far? You can. And that is what Josh's story is about, because Josh built a company that from the very beginning was very clearly successful at making good food. The company's gone through a few names, by the way. It was Beyond Eggs and then Hampton Creek, and now it's just called Just. And its products are all plant-based and have Just in the name. Just mayo, Just cookie dough, Just ranch dressing, and so on. Pretty much immediately upon launching in 2014, he had his products on the shelves of stores nationwide, which was cool, except...
The good thing was, hey, we're available at Walmart and Whole Foods. Bad thing was, we're losing a shit ton of money, and... The damn lids are popping off.
The damn lids were popping off. And that's not all, actually.
Labels falling off, emulsions breaking, products that had a minus 200, 300% gross margin.
Products that had a minus 200 to 300% gross margin. Josh had come in all cavalier, thinking he knew how to run a better food company than anyone who worked in food, and now he had products that were basically holding him hostage and burglarizing his home. Something needed to change, and that's what this episode is about, because after many changes and a lot of pain, Just is doing just grand today. Its growth now doubles every year. It's making money, and Josh has big plans.
We're on our way ultimately to being a public company that stands on its own two feet.
How did he turn it around? We'll get into it all just right after this break. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. I mean, who has the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations? Nobody running a small business, that's who. And old school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. But Gusto is. It's making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small business. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions, and 4 out of 5 customers actually reduce payroll errors after switching to Gusto. If you want to see what people are saying, Gusto says to just Google the company. That's how confident they are that you'll see people singing their praises. You don't get that with most payroll providers. Most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. To help support this show, Gusto is offering you, our listeners, an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and get 3 free months once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/problem solvers. That's gusto, gusto.com/problem solvers. And now, our second sponsor. FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world. But for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets. It's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities. All right, we're back. So before we understand how Josh fixed his problem, let's understand how such an outsider got into the food business to begin with. He began very, very far away from this business. In fact, he'd spent a number of years in sub-Saharan Africa.
Trying to do a little bit of good, helping kids get off the street and into school and working with Liberian government, United Nations Development Program, and wanting to use my life to do something meaningful, and felt really frustrated by the world of nonprofits and international institutions. I think the intention is good, but you know, the ability to have a really transformative impact is limited.
So Josh comes back to the U.S., and a friend suggests that he starts a business and makes an impact that way. Josh spends months researching different industries like transportation and energy before ultimately settling on food.
Eventually said, all right, I want to start a food company, and I want to start a food company that is using different tools than the existing set of food products used. So we don't just need to use conventional animal protein and soy and processed sugar. We can use different and better things. We can look at the plant kingdom as an example, and we can make products that are healthy, that are tasty, that are really affordable, and people who care about the world can buy it. But more importantly, people who don't care or can't afford to care will buy it, because that's ultimately how we think we have the biggest impact.
So Josh moves to San Francisco, sets up in a garage, and starts hiring people. And then the craziest thing happened. A local CBS affiliate did a story on Josh's company, just one of those local news segments. Hey, local man is in a garage working to make mayo that doesn't contain any animal products. And he had a few other things in development, but nothing actually on the shelf yet. And then the Drudge Report, for whatever reason, picks up this local CBS story and puts it on the front page along with an image of a chicken with a red X over it. And that gets picked up by the Daily Mail. And soon the story was all over the place. And then Josh gets a call from Whole Foods saying, hey, we've been reading about your products. Can we try them? So Josh sends some samples and Whole Foods signs on to launch Just Mayo. From there, Josh experienced the kind of growth that would make most food entrepreneurs just furious with jealousy.
So from, you know, really not having any sales in 2013, all of a sudden 2014, we were in approximately 400 Whole Foods stores, and Safeway hit. We're in 1,000 Safeways, and Walmart hit, and we were in 4,100 Walmarts. And all of a sudden, you could pretty much go anywhere in the country, from a tiny little grocery store in Idaho to, you know, Walmart outside Chicago, and you could find something that we made. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, until, as you'll recall, the lids started popping off. And it doesn't take long for Josh to discover that he's got himself a big problem, and all of this growth has just made it worse. Like, imagine building a 1 square foot house and then discovering, uh-oh, I didn't pour the foundation properly. You know, no problem. It's a 1 square foot house. You can fix it. But now you scramble to make a big old mansion and that thing doesn't have a proper foundation? Oh boy. This is why it's dangerous to grow really fast at the start. You aren't giving yourself the time to fix the inevitable errors.
Everything was happening so fast. More and more retailers were saying yes. More and more restaurants were saying yes. Big food service companies were saying yes. It was everywhere we went, people would say yes, right? And that's great. But our margins weren't getting better. They were getting worse. It wasn't just minus 70. It was minus 100, minus 200%. And it was almost like lighting money on fire. Every time we sell a product, we're losing money on ranch dressing, losing money on mayo, losing money on frozen cookie pucks. And we had money in the bank. That's nice, but we're wasting money. We're not really building a profitable company in the way that we're doing it. More and more retailers are complaining. You know, they give you a little bit of a pass in the beginning because you're trying to figure stuff out. But eventually, like, the damn lid's got to stay on.
Josh needed to figure out where the problems were coming from. There were just so many of them. The losses, the lids, the whole thing. Where did this problem begin? And then he realizes it began with him. It began with him thinking that to make a different kind of food company, he wanted everything to be different.
Underline, bold, my feeling we need an entirely different approach. That turned out to be half right. We need a different approach, but not an entirely different approach. I thought the different approach meant that we didn't really need to have people that understood warehousing or the basics of food manufacturing, that we could have a bunch of folks that specialize in, you know, data science and software and high-tech platforms. We didn't really need the, you know, the traditional knowledge in the food industry. And that was wrong.
Josh had hired the wrong people. And hey, he hired very talented people, but they were the wrong people for what he was doing, which was to build a food company, not a food company that existed in a magical land of Josh's creation, but one that actually existed in the world that works with other food companies and retailers and basically a system that exists and cannot just be ignored.
Pretty much everything that we should have been doing in operations, we weren't doing. So yeah, it certainly wasn't just the people. It was did a bad job negotiating the contract with manufacturing facilities. We picked the wrong manufacturing facilities. We picked the wrong warehousing partners. If we picked the right warehousing partners, they weren't in the right location. We had no idea how to ship the product. We had no idea what packaging to use the product. We had no idea how to vet the ingredient suppliers. I mean, like the long list of things, pretty much we didn't really understand how to do any of it.
There was only one way to fix this, Josh realized. He was going to need to make a major change at his company, including major staffing changes. All operations needed to be run differently, and he didn't have time to implement this, so it was going to be hard and fast. When we talked, he described it to me like a toothache. It builds, it builds, it builds, and at some point, there is no fixing this tooth. You've just got to rip the damn molar out of your mouth because that is the only thing that's going to stop the pain. And that meant replacing people.
We hired a guy named John who probably gave me the most boring presentation I've had in the history of all interviews. But that was great because all he wanted to do was talk about warehousing. All he wanted to do was talk about, like, you know, the mechanics of distribution. And he had lived his life doing that. And we hired him. He started hiring more people with that kind of experience. We made the decision to just focus on hiring a handful of people on our operations team that had made real food products before, had dealt with some of these issues before, who knew the language, who knew the industry, who knew the people, and then they would hire people that equally knew what the heck was going on.
Now, he didn't just change his entire operations team overnight. That simply wasn't possible. He still had a company to run. But what he did was lay a few people off, bring in some more qualified people, and then manage the shift gradually. Qualified people began hiring qualified people, and the people from the old days either left or learned and integrated themselves into this new system. And as they did, Josh's life started to change. Whenever he was traveling during those earlier days of the company, he could count on getting at least a few phone calls from panicked staffers because this or that thing had gone wrong. But soon those calls were dwindling and then magically stopped. From this, Josh learned an important lesson about what it means to quote-unquote disrupt something. You know, we throw that word around a lot in business. Too much, if you ask me. But what does it really mean to make change?
We really believe that the current food system needs to be rethought entirely. You got to start over. We just can't follow the same path that we followed in the past if we're gonna fix this thing. So I still believe that with everything that I am, but like the caveat to it is there's a lot of knowledge in the existing way of doing things that you need to retain. You know, you can't reinvent everything. You can reinvent some things. And there's some things about the way things currently are that you need to make sure that you incorporate into what you do. So I guess like one way that it made me personally better is everything is not a revolution.
You have to appreciate that some things aren't bad just because they're established. And some people and skills really are useful, even if they're part of an old system. And once you accept that, your entire understanding of leadership begins to change. Because think of it, the premise of all the old things must go is that you're saying, I know better than everyone who came before me. But hold up, is that true? Probably not.
I need to be intelligent enough to know that there's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know anything about. And redistribution and contract manufacturing facilities and warehousing would be at the very top of that list. And I think hiring people that do know what the heck they're talking about and allowing them more autonomy to then hire their team was a big change. Instead of me wanting so bad for people to think differently about everything, right? Wanting so bad to have, you know, revolutionaries in every part of operations, and instead, you know, having people that really know a lot about operations building their own team, that ended up being a really important thing. And I just think overall, I have maybe a more sober, more pragmatic view of the company in that, you know what, we can do a lot of things different, but not everything. And that's okay.
That's what revolutionary thinking is. It isn't always just about changing what's around you. It's about changing your own mind, too.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's, again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.